The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, you're very welcome back to the show with me, Frank Graney, filling in for Matt Cooper on The Last Word all this week. It's Wednesday and it's our last item on the show, so it's time for a cuppa and it's time to welcome the latest inductee to The Last Word's Culture Club, acclaimed American singer-songwriter Peter Broderick. Peter, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an honour.
Now, you've made some very interesting choices for our Culture Club, and I can't wait to get stuck into them. But before we get into all that, you might tell us what, in the name of God, experimental bedroom folk pop is.
Well, I suppose you're referring to the description of my latest album, and I've always had a hard time with genres, and I've always kind of purposefully tried to make music that's difficult to categorize. But I've come to realize that these genres are just simply a good way of trying to communicate in very quickly what something is like. So I tried to distill a very basic and somewhat catchy description of how to describe my latest record, and that was what I came up with.
Well, it's certainly catchy, and it definitely caught my eye. Tell us a little bit about the album. This is a new solo album by the name of Blackberry. It has been digitally released already, I believe, and the physical release is not too far away.
That's right, yeah. Well, it was all written here in Ireland, actually. I moved over to Ireland in 2016, but then my wife and I moved over to London last year. So we spent a year in London, and now we're back in Ireland since the world changed earlier this year. We decided to come back here. And the album was written here in Ireland and recorded over in London. And it was recorded in my little bedroom of our two-bedroom flat in London. So that's where you get the... I kind of wanted to embrace that idea of bedroom music. The songs are, I've made a lot of different types of music. I do music for films and commissioned work, but I also write songs. And this is my latest batch of songs, very centered around the lyrics and the storytelling.
And I believe that it's a family affair. Well, certainly the last track is, because both your wife and your stepson contributed to it.
Absolutely, yeah. And the whole record, family is a very prevalent theme. A lot of the songs are written about or in dedication to specific family members. I think the older I get, I'm still quite young. I'm in my early mid-30s, but I'm starting to realize now how important family is to me. And so I wanted to pay tribute to some of those people in song on this one.
And I believe you're living in the most beautiful county in the country.
I'm living in County Galway.
Yes, my own hometown.
Okay. We're just at the edge of Connemara, basically.
Beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Absolutely stunning all year round, but there's a particular beauty about its ruggedness and its isolation that you can really embrace fully during lockdown. And I wonder... We spoke in the show with John Cadell yesterday in our music slot, and we spoke about artists like Paul McCartney who have used their time during the pandemic to, I suppose, work on various projects. How have you found working during the pandemic, particularly during periods of lockdown? Do you feel like it has stifled your creativity, or have you embraced it, and has it led you down some roads that you mightn't have necessarily gone down if you weren't so restricted?
Yeah, it's definitely led me to some places that I would not have been otherwise. And when at the beginning of the year, during the first lockdown, I was very productive. But I kind of hit a point. It's kind of come and gone in phases for me. I'll have spurts of creativity where I'm really inspired and just consumed by some sort of creative endeavor. And then I'll finish something up and sort of the reality of what's going on will hit me, and I'll sink into a bit of a slump and not do anything for a week or two. So it's been touch and go, hit and miss for me. But I'm trying to make the most of it, and I believe I have in many ways.
Okay, let's talk then about some of your choices. You are the latest inductee to our Culture Club, and I want to know, what was the first single that you remember buying?
Yes. Well, the first one I can remember buying is by a band called the Gin Blossoms. It was a cassette single. And I'm actually not sure if I bought it or if it was like a promotional thing that I got off the counter while in the record shop with my mom or dad. But it was the first thing that I owned myself anyway as a kid. And it was very special to me because of that. And I hadn't heard this song in ages. So I went and looked it up to research for this little bit here. And I found myself enjoying it quite a lot. The song is called Found Out About You. And it just all came flooding right back to me, even though I hadn't heard it in, 20 some years or something.
Well, I'm going to ask you in a moment what memories did come flooding back when you listened to it again. But we're going to play a clip first, because I think that might assist the process. So this is Gin Blossoms, Found Out About You. The first time that you heard that, Peter, you said you were around 6 or 7, and you have listened to it again recently for the purpose of this show, and you do feel that that stands the test of time.
It really does, yeah. I don't know, you know, nostalgia is a very powerful thing. But to me, I hear that and I think, gosh, that's gorgeous. I love the sound of it. I mean, it sounds very sort of 90s to me. But it also sounds quite raw. Like, you know, I feel like a lot of pop music on the radio nowadays, I'm not trying to criticize, but it's all very polished and clean. And that to me sounds very like a band playing.
Yeah, it's certainly very different, I'd imagine, to the music that 6 or 7 year olds nowadays are listening to. I'd never heard of the band Gin Blossoms, but appropriately enough, I suppose, it reminds me of something that we discussed earlier. You have an interest in foraging, I believe, and I wonder, is that the inspiration for your latest title name?
It is indeed, yeah. I'm really big into wild plants and also mushrooms, but wild food in general, and getting to know the sort of the plants growing in your yard and in the parks and everywhere around them, and what you can utilize them for, and how we've utilized them in our ancestral history. And the blackberry in particular, when I first started getting into foraging, you know, several years ago, I wasn't excited about the blackberry because it was the only plant I knew already. You know, I had been out picking blackberries as a kid, and you could say that was the only wild food I had experience with. So I was really eager to learn about all these new things, and I kind of ignored the blackberry. But last year I sort of came back to the blackberry with much enthusiasm, learning that in addition to the berries, you can make use of the leaves in teas and salads, and you can weave with the bramble vines. It's a very versatile plant with many uses. So I wanted to pay tribute to it on this new record.
That's interesting. And it brings us along nicely to, I suppose, your favorite author. You might tell us a little bit about him.
Most of the books I read nowadays are foraging books. So there's an author from, I believe he's from the Midwest somewhere in America. His name is Samuel Thayer, and he's just written some incredible foraging books. And one of the things I love about him is he always writes little essays that really inspire you to get out there and sort of help break down that wall that some people might have of fear of you know, not being able to identify something properly. So he's really good at just making you feel like you have the knowledge to go out and do it. But yeah, he's got some great books called The Forager's Harvest and Nature's Garden. Those are a couple of them.
Okay. Are you ever worried picking up these things if you go away from your guides, find something unusual? Are you ever worried that you're about to ingest something poisonous? Or have you ever had any scary moments like that while you're out foraging?
I have had a few scary moments. I hate to say it, but I've been a bit reckless a couple times and not as careful as I should have been. Especially when I once picked a plant that I was sure of what it was, and I was so sure of what it was, I had my wife take a taste of it as well, and then later realized that it was a toxic look-alike of the plant that I thought it was.
Oh dear!
And luckily, it wasn't. It didn't make us super ill or anything. It wasn't a hugely toxic plant, but it was very scary nonetheless. And it's very important to know what you're doing. And I think the best way to do that is to go out with someone who has experience, and learn firsthand. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fairly good advice there for anybody that decides to take up foraging in the back of this interview. Let's talk then about your favorite band or album. It's quite a long list that you have. What sticks out for you?
Yeah, I always find it so hard to pick favorites. But certainly there are a host of artists that have been inspirational to me over the years. And sometimes those artists come to me, like I might be told that in the case of one artist in particular, a guy called Arthur Russell, people were coming to me telling me that I reminded them of Arthur Russell before I ever heard him.
Really?
And then once I finally heard his music, I fell deeply in love with it. And yeah, he's got a very interesting story. He passed away when he was 40 years old in the 80s or early 90s, I guess. He contracted HIV. It was during that time when, a lot of people just passed away very quickly. Mm. But he left behind a huge pile of recorded music, which has since been gone through. And I was one of the people who was... I got asked to help go through his archives in recent years, actually, which was a huge honor to help go through some of the archival material and prepare one of his posthumous releases.
Wow.
So yeah, from being told I sounded like him to then discovering him and becoming obsessed to then working on some of his archives, that's been a real journey of inspiration with Arthur Russell.
Absolutely. One of the choices, and we have a clip here, one of the choice, Nina Simone. You'd be a fan of Nina Simone.
Yes, huge fan of Nina Simone. Just the power behind both her piano playing and her voice. The sheer power of it is staggering to me, and I find it so inspiring.
Well, appropriately enough, we've actually chosen a track from Nina Simone and Piano. This was released in 1969, and this is Seems I'm Never Tired Loving You.
Darling, you always need it, and your tenderness is needed. It seems that I'm never tired loving you, loving you. Oh, never was a feeling stronger.
The unmistakable voice of Nina Simone there, and I was absolutely delighted to see her included in your list. It's lovely to hear her voice there. I want to ask you, Peter, the best gig that you've been at, what was that?
The best gig. Whenever I get asked that question, one gig immediately pops into my head, and it was at the Green Man Festival in Wales, which is any touring musician will tell you that the Green Man Festival is a wonderful festival. And the band was the Dirty Three, and it was a magical evening. The sun was kind of setting. They were playing on the main stage, and just as they started, there was sort of a really light, misty rain. It's like the only type of rain that's really just nice to stand in.
Mm, refreshing almost on a sunny day listening to Dirty Three.
Yeah, it was just gorgeous, and they were just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really stuck with me was how hilarious Warren Ellis was with his stage banter between songs. You know, they're an instrumental band, but between the songs, Warren Ellis, the fiddle player, was telling these raucous, insane stories that just had the whole crowd in stitches. And then he'd throw up his leg and kick it into the air and launch into the next song. You know, it was just amazing.
Brilliant. That sounds like a fantastic day. Unfortunately, we don't have any audio of Warren Ellis's banter, but we do have a clip, and we couldn't actually find any audio of broadcast quality from that particular gig that you were at. But we do have one of Sometimes I Forget You've Gone, and this was live at the Theatre Royal Castlemaine in Australia back in 2012. Have a listen. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. I wouldn't be familiar with the Dirty Three, to be honest. That's a real kind of a soft jazz-like quality to it.
Yeah, but the drummer's kind of going mental there.
Like Animal from the Muppets in the background.
Absolutely, yeah. I love it. Yeah, it's great.
Let's move on then. Tell us about your favorite movie, Peter.
Well, one of my favorite movies is an Icelandic film. In the States, it was released under the title Noi, N-O-I, but I believe its original title, and probably in the rest of Europe, it's known as Noi Albinoi, or Noi the Albino. Mm. It's an Icelandic film written and directed by a guy called Dagur Kari. And one of the things I loved so much about this film, I was actually in film school at the time when I first saw this, age 17, 18. And the film director made all the music for the film with his band. And I just found that to be so unique. I can't really think of any other films where the director, I know sometimes David Lynch is quite involved in the soundtracks to his films, but doesn't necessarily make the music himself. So I was trying to do that same thing in film school with the films I was making to soundtrack them myself. To see a film like that done, I felt like it was someone out there what had done exactly what I was trying to do almost.
That's fantastic. Do you, I know your background was in film, do you still, you know, tinker in that world, or is it exclusively now about making music?
I do tinker a bit, actually. I don't back then I had like a good, I had a couple film cameras. I used to shoot Super 8 film and 16 millimeter film. And I also had a, access to good editing facilities. But now I don't have access to that stuff. So when I experiment with film now, I'm just using iMovie or something very, very primitive. But nonetheless, I like to mess around a bit. And I've made a few, recently I've been making some videos called the BlackBerry Diaries, where I show all the different uses of the BlackBerry plant and what I like to do with it. Yeah.
Wow. It just sounds like you're merging all of your hobbies and pastimes into this amazing life out in Connemara. It sounds absolutely idyllic. Let's talk about Twin Peaks, because this is one of your favorite shows. What was so good about Twin Peaks? It was a strange show back in the 1990s.
Yes, very strange. I didn't see it when it originally came out. I would have been very young, and I think it probably would have traumatized me.
Past your bedtime, probably.
Yeah, but I saw it, you know, once I became a young adult, but the amazing thing about Twin Peaks, I mean, it was already amazing, but a few years ago, there was a Twin Peaks revival where they did a third season 25 years after the last season had ended. And they just picked right back up where they left off 25 years later in the storyline. And that, to me, was and still is, I feel it was such a powerful experience watching that third season as it came out. I had the distinct sensation that I could not possibly ask for more from a moving picture of any kind, whether it's film or TV. I just felt like it just doesn't get any better than this for me.
Let's have a listen. This is Special Agent Albert Rosenfield, who is played by the late Miguel Ferrer, delivers some of the greatest dialogue in the show. I'm sure you'd agree, but this may be his most memorable. Let's have a listen to a scene here between himself and Sheriff Harry Truman.
Anything we should be working on?
Yeah, you might practice walking without dragging your knuckles on the floor.
Albert, let's talk about knuckles. For the last time I knocked you down, I felt bad about it. The next time is going to be a real pleasure.
You listen to me. While I will admit to a certain cynicism, the fact is that I'm a naysayer and hatchet man in the fight against violence. I pride myself in taking a punch, and I'll gladly take another because I choose to live my life in the company of Gandhi and King. My concerns are global. I reject absolutely revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love. I love you, Sheriff Truman.
Albert's path is a strange and difficult one.
Your second choice for favorite TV show is one of my personal favorites. It was a guilty pleasure during the last lockdown. I gobbled it up. I loved every second of it. Schitt's Creek.
Oh yes, that I just started watching that recently with my wife. Someone had recommended it to us, and you know, like many others, we're kind of stuck inside a lot these days, and so finding a nice way to pass that time is much appreciated. And that show has just had us on the floor with laughter. It's hilarious.
It's really good, and it gets better and better and better as it goes on. I was devastated when I finished it, and I won't spoil it for you, but let's listen to clip, because it really is a fantastic show. And in this episode of Schitt's Creek, it becomes clear that one of the main characters, David, played by Daniel Levy, doesn't fully understand the idea of a tax write-off, and his father, Eugene Levy, sets him straight. Have a listen.
What's this? Looks expensive.
This is some new bedding.
David, didn't I just tell you to save your money?
Yeah, I am testing this out for the store, so work is paying for it.
Work is paying for your bedding?
I was gonna leave, but now I don't want to.
What is that? Is that a new lamp?
Yeah, I'm thinking of bringing homeware into the store, so that's a write-off.
That's a write-off?
Yeah.
Do you even know what a write-off is?
Yeah. It's when you buy something for your business and the government pays you back for it.
Oh, and who pays for it?
Nobody. You write it off.
Who writes it off?
I don't know. The write-off people. Why are we having this conversation?
So if I need booze to get through my day, I can just write that off?
That's a stretch.
But the skincare products you got this morning, those are a write-off.
What skincare products? You purchased skincare products?
Okay. I am the face of the company. If I have acne, what does that say about the legitimacy of the store?
That's not a write-off. That's not a write-off. This? Not a write-off.
Oh, well, the betting's non-refundable, so.
David, a write-off is a business expense used to reduce your taxable income.
Okay, well then, why isn't it called a tax write-off?
It is! It is! You can't just buy things for yourself and write them off!
Well, then I'll return some things. There's not enough space in here for the massage chair anyway.
Absolutely brilliant. I adored all of the characters. I really enjoyed their story arcs. We talked at the top of the show about your new album, Blackberry, and how your family had a part to play in one of the songs. And it was lovely to see the exchanges between Eugene Levy and his son, Daniel, and indeed his daughter, who also had a big role in the show. But we'll finish, Peter, by talking about your favourite play or musical. What's that?
It's an interesting place to finish because I don't have a lot of experience in that arena. So what I ended up choosing for this is a community production of The Wizard of Oz that I saw when I was a kid. Because whenever I think back on it, it just blows me away. And I also feel like, you know, it's important to acknowledge that sometimes you don't need a big fancy production to really make such a huge impression on you, you know? Mm. This community production of The Wizard of Oz, like, I grew up in a very small town in America, and the local veterinarian played the lion. And he was just one of the funniest characters around, and his rendition of the lion was just through the roof. So yeah, Eric Witherspoon, if you or any of your family ever get the chance to hear this, thanks for that great job you did with the lion back in the 90s.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have any audio of the local vet's performance, but we do have a clip of The Wizard of Oz from a West End production in 2011. There we go. That's probably an appropriate time to bring the show to an end. I've really enjoyed, Peter, going through your choices for this week's Last Words Culture Club. I hope you've enjoyed it too. Blackberry is out in physical release at the end of the month, October 30th. There's no place like home. Peter, I'm going to let you go back to yours. I'm going to go back to mine shortly. That's all we've got time for this evening.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.